just as a little precursor, the first reading was about the first church council. And we had Vatican II, right? That's a council. The first church council was in Jerusalem. And for those people that say the church never changes, look at the topics on the agenda. Don't eat strangled meat. Don't do blood. Don't do animal sacrifice to idols. And don't do fornication. Well, there's only one left out of that list, right? We're still concerned about it. So there's an awful lot that changes in our understanding of what it means to be the broken people that we are, loved intensely. Intensely by this God who is continuing to pour God's self out to all of us. Now we try to understand what this means, and most of us, at least maybe I'm projecting, but for me, there's a lot of times I just say, I don't get it. No, I can't figure this out. And I can hear the Lord saying to me, that's okay. Of course you can't figure it out. You're only human. But the last few weeks we've been reading from what is called the Last Supper Discourse in the Gospel of John. And last week we hear, I want to center this in, Judas has gone out. Jesus has washed their feet. Judas has gone out to betray him. You know, he's talked to Peter about the denial, and he's basically sitting down with his cohorts, his best friends, these people that have been with him, and he's telling them the stuff that he wants to tell them before he dies. You know, if I only had a few hours left in my life, probably wouldn't be watching reruns of Castle on TV. You know, I would be wanting to talk to people and tell them what's going on, what is in my heart, what I feel. So Jesus is doing that. And what's he talking about? Last week, this is my commandment, that you love one another. This week, talking about love of God. That's chapter 13, chapter 14. In chapter 15, he goes back to the theme, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Come on, Jesus, all you do is talk about this love stuff. Give me a break. But that's the mystery. Now, imagine if you would, your spouse or significant other or very close friend to you said to you, do you love me? And you said, oh yeah, sure, I love you. Absolutely. But then they upped the ante and they said, why do you love me? And you said, I love you because you do my laundry. I love you because you cook my meals. I love you because you pay the bills. I love you because you take the dog out, let the dog do his doo-doo in the yard. I mean, if you're hearing that to you, it's like, maybe that love is conditional? What? You know, what you really want to hear from them, if they're talking to you, is, I love you because of you. I love you for who you are. Not for what you can do for me. In the reading today, talking about this love of God, how many of us really love God for God? Or we love God because God hears our prayers and God's there for us. You know, it's almost like we have to be quiet enough to love God for God's sake. And I think that's what this love is calling us to love God for God's sake. Because in the little prayer that we do in the beginning, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. And it keeps on going. Be still and then be. You see how far up the line knowing is? Because we are just humans. We have a limited ability to think. We cannot figure out God. But we can experience God. There's a huge difference. We can experience the love of God. But often it requires of us a daily rendezvous with God and a discipline to remain silent before Him. So, you know, you get up. You're going to do this, you light a candle, you read the scripture, you sit there, and God doesn't show up for the meeting. Like, dang, huh? This is hard. You can hear the Lord saying, of course it is. Because we are so used to it. I have a confession. My phone time, daily phone time, was down last week. They said it was down to 5 hours. Like, because I play solitaire all day. One of the joys of being retired, right? But our minds are always going. They're going and going and going and going. And we need to slow down. In this passage today, Jesus promises the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, and He says, peace be with you. Later on, when He shows up, that's the first thing He says to the disciples after the resurrection. Peace be with you. But today we're told, this is not the peace as the world brings you peace. Because here's the snag with this thing about peace, is that we are used to peace in our lives when we have the ability and the energy to maintain the conditions of peace in our life. That we do that. We maintain those conditions for peace. I got my bills paid. I don't have any parking tickets. I'm not fighting with my significant other. My kids are getting up and going to school on time. If one of those goes awry, then what we try to do is rush in and fix it. And that's all right. When we're out of balance, when we're not at peace, our first reaction naturally is to restore the conditions of peace. And that's all right. When we see injustice, it's the moral imperative. When we see injustice, we're to attempt to make it right. And we're not to bring harm to anyone. Not bring harm to other people, not bring harm to ourselves, not bring harm to the planet. But you know, sometimes the peace that Jesus is talking about here is not that peace. That peace is closely associated with the love of God. And that takes us being centered and quiet and open to that love. Not loving God for what God can do for me, or not loving God for God's gifts to me, but loving God for God. And that's when you can experience that. And sometimes we have those flashes. You know, it might be in a beautiful sunrise or a sunset. It might be in a painting. It might be in a piece of music. It might be in your flower garden. You have these flashes of that moment. What if we could abide there in those flashes, in that moment? because that's where the peace is. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's difficult because we're not used to it and our culture doesn't support it. You know, last week Father Greg challenged me. I'm sitting back there minding my own business, and he challenges me around this baby formula thing at the border. My first thought is, I don't want to think about baby formula at the border. I don't want to think about little starving kids. That really harshed my mellow, you know. I'm here at church. Why do I want to hear about injustice? But he was right to challenge me. My first thought was, oh, this is very political. No, it wasn't. It's very gospel. Challenging me to question my own motivations. Questioning me whether I really follow what in this Last Supper discourse in the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking about. Loving God, loving neighbor, being at peace. And he gets all that said, and he goes out and he dies. For me, the biggest thing that stands in my way of loving God and loving other people, two words, I just said them, my way. I want it my way. See, that's why I really support the clergy getting married. Because you find out real quickly that your significant other doesn't always want to do it your way. And then what do you have to do? You have to die. You have to die to my way. And I got to be honest, I hate that. Because I want to always do stuff my way. But you see, that carries over to my relationship with God, too. Lord, I want you to do this for me my way. How many of us have had God work in our lives and we've said, yeah, the Lord really worked in my life, but he didn't do it the way I expected him to do it. Of course. It's not my way. So my challenge personally in reading the scripture and what I would offer to you is love God for God's sake, not for what God can do. Love those people in your life for their sake, not for what they can do to you. And realize that there's death involved in that. That's what Jesus taught us on the cross. Love poured out ends up in crucifixion. But death wears your victory, death wears your sting. It doesn't last there, it goes beyond it. It transitions it and transcends it. And that's why they call it good news. So may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord let his face shine upon us and give us peace.